earlier years, but I've learned this. I haven't completed it, the school of it yet. And you can learn it as well, and I'm sure you have been in your walk with the Lord. How many remember the story of the little boy in the New Testament that Jesus fed the 5,000, and then he had a little boy that had a basket full? And often the way that it's preached is the miracle is how Jesus reached in to the little boy's lunch and was able to multiply it. And that surely is a miracle. That is the main thing. But I've often believed that an overlooked miracle is the fact that the little boy had not ate his lunch before Jesus got a hold of it. Where I grew up, I used to have some hills behind, and I remember if I was to go hiking, my mother would fix me a lunch. And I had a destination I wanted to reach, but I never reached that destination before I ate the lunch, before I got there. As soon as I started climbing, I was reaching into the bag and eating my lunch. Something happened to this little boy that so captivated him that he forgot about the lunch, as he no doubt was pulled into this Lord Jesus as he spoke. I remember I was at a motel once in Chehalis, and I was preached for the church the next morning. I'd been there on different occasions, but I noticed the last time I was there, I noticed that it had an incredible view that I never saw before. I didn't notice it until I was leaving. Brother Armstrong used to tell me when he lived in Anaheim, he knew people that lived in Anaheim that had never been to Disneyland. Never went there. Something wrong with that. David said in Psalms 121, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Brocky, how we doing? Okay. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Now the average interpretation of that passage is, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And yes, my help comes from the hills, from where there is a security. It comes from not only the hills, but from the God that made the hills. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Is that where my help comes from? David says, no, not on your life. You see, Jerusalem, the way it was located is there were hills that surrounded it for their safety. Just like we would say America has been perhaps providentially, geographically located with some oceans between us and some other countries. And they put their refuge in those hills for the natural security that it brought them from enemies attacking. But the psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes unto those hills, but my help really doesn't come from the hills. My help comes from the God who made the hills. And I thank God for a simple appetite, that there was something more attractive to that little boy that had his lunch than his appetite was for the lunch itself. And in that motel room, when I look back, there was more attraction to me, to whatever it was that was captivating my attention, than the view that I had of the beautiful hills around me. But I want to take this Psalms and give it a little deeper meaning. Because when David said, I will lift up my eyes, and then when he says the word help, that word help, from the hills from whence cometh my help, that word help has a couple of meanings. The word help comes from two words. One which means plenty, and the other which means shout. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help, which comes my security, my plenty, or my happy plenty, as some writers have rightfully said. I really get my happiness and my security from the Lord, is what David is saying. And what the psalmist is saying is that all I need for my happiness is the Lord. All I need for deep inside a sense of happiness and security is the Lord. And the thing that captured David's attention was not the beauty of the hills, in which they were beautiful. The thing that captured his attention about the hills was not the security that they produced, and they did. But it was something that captured his attention, which was above that. And it was, he was saying, God is my security, and God is my happy plenty, and God is my real source of happiness. For my happy plenty cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. I honestly didn't have that type of walk with the Lord in my earlier years. I had to do something to get happy. Did you love the Lord? I love the Lord. But you talk about restless. I had to go here. I had to do this. I had to do that. I had to do this. And God gave us those things richly to enjoy. Nothing wrong with them. But my happy plenty came from going fishing. My happy plenty came from going skiing up on Mount Hood. When my mother, who wanted to go skiing for the first time in her life at 60-some years of age, she went up the little bunny hill and came down and said, no mas, that's enough. My happy plenty came from going swimming. My happy plenty came from going golfing. Those are good things to do. But my happy plenty just wasn't really totally on the Lord, but it was on other things as well. And God gave us those things to enjoy, no doubt. But let me try to explain it this way. That when David is anointed, he's saying that he wants, God is speaking through David, saying that, I want you, David, to have your happiness and your fulfillment from me. Not from our circumstances primarily, but from God. Not what we do, but what and who He is. Not what we enjoy, and those things are given to us richly to enjoy. Let me refer to what David said. He said when he was a shepherd watching over his father's flock, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Meaning, He's enough. And did he enjoy other things? Yes. I think it would be the understatement of the year that I have been like a little kid for the last 3 or 4 months, ever since I knew Kelly and Tawny and their husbands and the best grandsons in the world were coming. I have just been beside myself. In fact, as they were driving here, I said, how much further, daughter? How much further? The roles were reversed. I haven't been this excited. I can't remember when. I'd go to sleep. They're coming. I'd wake up. They're coming. During the day, I'm reading, and all I could see is their pictures. And then somebody asked me, what are you going to do when they get here? Oh, boy, I began to think, what am I going to do? Now, what would Brocky like to do? What would Julian like to do? And I got me a list. I was going to take him to the park where that little train is. Last time Julian was here, I took him to the park and with a metal detector, and we hit the mother lode. we found two quarters. And I mean, when the kids gathered around and brought, little Julian reached in, grabbed that quarter and held it up to make everybody envious, we hit the mother load. And I said to Brocky, you want to go hunting for some money? He said, yeah. And I thought, I'll do that. And then I found this fellow had a go-kart. And I talked him into letting me use his go-kart. And we got it fixed up. We got it raring to go. And then I thought, you know what? I don't need to do those things to be happy. All I need is for him to be here, and that'll be good enough for me. Now, I may not be quite satisfying him like they satisfy me, but for me, my joy is that they're here. That's my joy. That's my happiness. And one time a lady came to Jesus, and she meant well, and Jesus got right to the quick. But she said, Jesus, I'll bet your mother is really happy, really proud. She said it in these words, happy are the paps that gave thee suck and the womb that bare thee. And Jesus rather quickly said, No. He said, happy are they that hear the word of God and obey it. That's who happy people are. And he wasn't putting down, showing respect and honor for his mother. For even on the cross, Jesus said, John, remember my mother, please. But Jesus is really teaching that happiness truly comes from a right relationship with God. And God gives us these things richly to enjoy, but when they stand between us and God, rather than them being a blessing, they can be a curse. It was the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, wanted to follow him, but Jesus knew that he thought more about money than he did about following Jesus. And so his money that was intended to be a blessing became a curse to him. In terms of happiness based on circumstances, Jesus had, according to the world standard of where happiness is, no chance for happiness. If you listen to any commercial, tell yourself always, I'm getting ready to hear a lie. Because number one, all the people that are in these commercials are good looking. And number two, they always try to portray it that if you do this, you just have died and gone to heaven. And that's usually not the case. But Jesus, if you just look at his life and do a short autobiography, he didn't have a lot of reason to be happy, according to the world standards. He was born in a stable and in an occupied country, and his parents became, at that time, refugees. Then, returning to his village, he was brought up in a cottage, and he was apprenticed to be a carpenter. And we don't have any record of his parents providing any financial help as he launched into his ministry. He never married. He never had the joy of having children. He said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head, in spite of the erroneous air the prosperity people preach that Jesus was rich. Why else did he need a treasure? I could give you reasons, but he that's convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So Jesus basically lived in poverty in comparison to the way you and I live. His first sermon he ever preached, they heard him gladly the first 10 minutes, and then they got mad and wanted to throw him off a cliff and kill him. I don't think those are ingredients for happiness. He was opposed by his enemies. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The religious world rejected him, and his own family doubted him, and they all forsook him. And the night that he was to be taken to trial, he is having a conversation with his disciples, those closest to him. And he knew they were all getting ready to deny him. If I knew you were all getting ready to deny me, oh. But he knew that. He knew that Peter was going to go and deny him and have a cuss fest. And yet, listen to the words Jesus said to them that night. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I conclude, or one might conclude, he was either insane or mad or out of his mind to say, the joy that I have, I pray that you get it also. You mean to tell me, knowing everything you do, you're happy and you have joy? Yes. I either conclude he was mad or beside himself, or he was telling the truth and he had a joy. And the scripture talks about the joy that was set before him. And I would refer back to the words that Jesus said to the woman when she said, I bet they're happy because your mother, and et cetera, et cetera. And he said, no, Jesus said, let me tell you who the really happy people are. They that hear the word of God and they obey it. So let's turn it back on the Lord. Did he obey his father? Yes, he did. Jesus said on at least three occasions, I always do those things that please my Father. I only speak that which my Father tells me to speak. I only go to where my Father tells me to go. I only do that. He had obedience to his Father. And because he had obedience to his Father and desired to please him, he was truly happy. Jesus found a joy in having a right relationship with the Father. And he is letting us also know, if you really want the happiness, listen to what God says in his word and obey it. So in closing, I'm trying to say, nothing is more important than you finding God and hearing from God and obeying God. And that's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't need nothing else. I won't want. I don't need this. I don't need that. I just need my family. That's all I want. My family. And if I have them, I'm good. I may have to plant some quarters so we can find the Mother Lord also. I'm with Tawny at the beach. I couldn't do this to Kelly. She's too old. Or a few years older. I better clarify that. And Tawny, I said, Tawny, we're going to go to the beach and we're going to find some seashells. Oh boy, oh boy. Tawny was just like this all the time. Callie was telling me the other day, she said, I can't go into a room without Brocky just following me. I said, well, that was Aunt Tawny. And Tawny's so excited about going to the seashore to find seashells. That reminds me of Fuzzy Wuzzy Was a Bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair. So I went to the store and I bought a bunch of seashells. Because when we got there, she wasn't finding too many, and I can't be a liar. I promised we'd find them. And all we're finding is a little 1/4 inch, all washed up smooth. But I reached in, and I grabbed some of them hidden ones I bought, and I dropped them. And Tawny would come along and, wow, wow. How many know you don't really need to help God, but we try to help God? I said, well, that's what the Lord did, Tawny. Look how he's just providing for us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And then I had a great big one. I couldn't wait to see how she'd respond to the big one. And I dropped that big one. And she found it, and she come running up. She said, Daddy, God left the price tag on it. And then you have to be honest. What do I need? I don't need the how or the what. I just need the who. Would you stand? And I hope you're finding your joy, your happiness in the Lord. How do I get happy in God? Obey Him. Obey Him. There's no shortcuts. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. You come that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. And You desired for Your disciples to have a joy that You had. And this joy You promised no man can take it from us. I thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your life and for each one here. And I pray as You desired that they would have life and more abundantly, but may we remember we have our part to hear the Word of God and to obey God and His Word. That's truly who the happy people are. In this world in which we live, where there's so much covetousness, when there's so much of we're not content until we have this or that, may we remember the words of Paul. I've learned to be content wherever I am. Help each person here to find contentment first of all and foremost with You, in having a right relationship with You, loving You and obeying You, for You love us and gave Your life for us. May we always be mindful and be thankful in Christ's name. Amen. Turn to somebody and give them one of these, would you?